Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Debate physics also, but the debate is just too perverse in the sense that the other side can't actually argue the points made or the evidence shown. So, the Brozo has posted another video claiming, again, the word proving. Proof. And no, there's no proof here. Okay, there's none to be found. Just more hyperbole, more exaggeration, more his own ego thing. Just really dismal that people can do this over and over again and be wrong and keep doing it and keep pretending, and it's just terrible. So anyway, I did actually make a response video where I played his whole video, but it just became an exchange of insults. His whole video, his whole half-hour video is 96% wasted time. Just him doing his rhetoric that somehow I'm lying and I'm distorting and I'm doing this and I'm doing all these evil things, and when it can be obviously seen from his own video that I didn't have anything to do with the fact that PBS didn't make an entirely accurate documentary. And then he rags on the documentary. I mean, he rags on even things that are, you know, if they're going to waste money on stuff, it's better for them to be doing something a little bit science than nothing science, even if the science is a bit inaccurate. But anyway, regardless. So I'll go over a little tiny bit of the context here. So this is the experiment, like the Eddington experiment. This is what made MV squared famous. And like for Einstein, the Eddington experiment. So it's never really been repeated. Nobody bothers, because I don't think there's very good physics or logic behind the experiment. And I'll explain some of that. So the immediate context is I've just done 3 videos on the website discussing a Mythbusters video where they did an experiment, okay, where they're trying to ascertain the energy within something. And they create a device where they're basically going to squash a plug of clay. So the theory is that the more pressure you apply to the clay, the more it squishes, and that it's proportional like a spring. So it would behave like a spring, and basically a spring will compress twice as much for twice as much weight. So you put 200 pounds on, it does this. You know, 100 pounds, it does this. You know. So it's proportional, it's linear, all right. So that's their assumption, and it's an assumption. We don't have any real hard evidence about how good clay is as being a ruler for anything. But their experiment is rather simple, okay? So they're gonna swing something from 4 times the height, which they're assuming is twice the velocity. Again, they don't measure the velocity, but it's pretty well-established physics that that's what you're gonna get in a pendulum or just dropping an object. So they drop it from 4 times to double the velocity, and they're duplicating essentially the 10-ton train and the 5-ton train, or you could just say a 50-mile-an-hour crash or a 100-mile-an-hour crash. And their results were exactly what you would predict if you were reasonable and believed in momentum, in that what you got was for 4 times the height, you only got twice the compression of the clay. This is all you got, because all it really did was double the weight. 4 times higher, so Stephen Breaux will never deal with this simple fact. 4 times higher, only twice the weight. This is the experiment he hasn't done, okay? And really, pressure is all that's going to really compress the clay, so it's kind of obvious that this would be what you would understand the result to be produced. Now, the kinetic energy theory, you know, 1/2 mv squared, says, okay, that when I did it from 4 times the height with twice the velocity and only got half the compression, I was supposed to get 4 times the compression. All right, I was supposed to get 1/4. So it was supposed to really smash the plug, and it didn't. It was supposed to be twice the compression of the 100-mile-an-hour crash, you know, so to speak. And it isn't. And the cars show the same thing. So when you smash the cars, the same thing happens. You know, 100 miles an hour only gets you half the car crushed, and 50 miles gets you 1/4 of the car crushed. Okay, so it also doesn't show the MV squared. So I've just showed those videos. Now, that clay experiment's a pretty good one. It makes some sense that, you know, you just smash the clay, and how much the clay smashes, how much you're able to push it down and compress it, would be a reasonable measure of something's energy. So it has pretty good theory. It's not silly or crazy. Now, the results are exactly a contradiction to what he says he's proving. So it's an exact contradiction. I mean, it couldn't be a more complete contradiction. I mean, the numbers couldn't be more, like, just say perfect, okay, in the sense that the number was, say, 15.5 and 777. I mean, the numbers were so perfect, okay. And yet he won't provide any explanation. He won't make the accusation that Mythbusters cheated or lied, that their car crash was a fake, that their clay experiment's fake. He won't make any argument at all explaining how that exact opposite evidence has no integrity. That doesn't mean anything. That it's a flawed experiment. It proves, it demonstrates, let's say, it indicates strongly exactly the opposite of what he claims to prove, and yet he won't provide any analysis at all. He won't explain how this experiment they did is much worse than his, that it's scientifically impossible that this would give you better results, that it's a crappy experiment. He won't explain any of it. And it was 3 days ago, three different videos. I mean, the point has been made, and here he now posts this video claiming a proof right in the face of an exact opposite experiment. What? Yeah, no. Too silly, right? So you got to say, okay, obviously all these people have, they're just showing they have no interest in a real debate, a real argument of any kind, a real discussion of any kind. They obviously just want to believe what they want to believe, and they don't feel any obligation to play fair and do what the facts indicate, which is you have to counter-argue the Mythbusters experiment. You have to explain why they got the wrong answers. You can't just say they got the wrong answers. You got to do a little better than that. I will explain why Brozo's experiment gets the wrong answer. And it doesn't entirely get the wrong answer. Again, it's Brozo's cheat, okay? Brozo pours too much stuff in. He does everything crooked. He does everything messy enough that he can keep moving the rulers all the time to try to make the numbers match. All right, so let's go through what Brozo's actually done his experiments, okay? So this is, he's pretending he hasn't done this experiment already when he has already done it. And he did it a different way, and the different way is a meaningfully different way. Alright, so I'll erase and be back. Alright, so like an entire year ago, Brozo attempted to duplicate the Chatelet experiments of dropping things into clay. So we're not compressing clay now, we're penetrating clay in this experiment, this version of the experiment. And what he used was steel rods. So things with a flat surface, okay? A flat surface, it's round, but it's flat. So when it penetrates, it just goes into the surface and creates a hole in the surface, okay? No rounded parts, okay? So and his results weren't satisfactory. To his own satisfaction, he didn't show us any details, really. He just said it doesn't prove 1/2 mv squared, okay? It doesn't do the mv squared part anyway, okay? No indication of the 4 times. So the 4 times the height and gravity, 4 times the penetration. He didn't get these answers. So he was dissatisfied with the experiment. So he had bought a big clump of clay and he blah, blah, blah. And he even did this with cornstarch and claimed that somehow cornstarch doesn't do what all the videos show on YouTube. That is that the faster you go into the cornstarch, the more resistance the cornstarch produces. So it's like a chemistry fact, okay, that the cornstarch reacts to the velocity, the speed of the motion, and it basically locks all the molecules. The faster you go, the more molecules lock with each other, and the more rigid the substance becomes. So that's just a fact. And he claims he's proven that's not true, but whatever. So he did these experiments. So he's now pretending like he didn't already do them and fail. When, yeah, he did them and he failed. All right, and he was under the same impression, okay, that it was about how deep the impression is. You're measuring how deep the impressions are. But regardless, I'll explain that now, why this question is really a moot question if you do the experiment scientifically. If you use a scientific mind and analyze what you're required to do the experiment, you can understand why this failed. Because this is actually the correct way to do it, okay? This shaped object is the right way to do the experiment, where the way he's doing it now is the wrong way to do the experiment, okay? All right, now the historical records are all kind of sloppy. I mean, you can't just go somewhere and see the actual experiments or any of this kind of stuff. All this stuff happened in the 1700s, and all you have is some drawings and stuff, and it's always in the wrong language and blah, blah, blah. So it's not great. You don't have a lot of just, let me just go read his notes, like with Faraday. So there's some slight controversy over whether you're detecting, what you're detecting. So what you're doing in this experiment is dropping round lead balls into the clay. So, but it's the same experiment. You're just saying, let's double the velocity and measure what happens to the clay, right? Okay, so now you have a completely different surface, obviously. And the question is are you supposed to measure the volume of the divot made? That is, how much volume it has, or how deep it goes. Okay, so you can understand those are two different things. Okay, and the problem is there's this relationship between this distance, okay, and volume, okay, and the relationship is 4-to-1, okay? I mean, you double the radius, the diameter, and the volume increases by 4. Okay, so that needs to be understood. But that stops happening as soon as you go deep enough. So as soon as you go halfway, okay, so as soon as your stop expands, you can understand if I drop it a little distance, it does this little dimple. If I drop it harder, it does this bigger dimple. I drop it harder, it does a bigger dimple, right? And these are only units of distance, right? So let's just understand that for one unit of diameter distance depth, I get 4 units of volume. Okay, so that's the problem with the experiment, is that when you're initially doing it, you're increasing the volume, even though you've only penetrated one unit, you're increasing the volume by 4 units. And that stops, though, as soon as you drop an object, all right, deep enough to go the diameter of the object. And you can sort of understand why this happens, right? This is the flat part of the circle. This is the vertical part of the circle. Now, which object is more of an impediment to you? This or this? I mean, obviously, this is a lot less of an impediment than this is. Okay, so obviously, as you're doing this experiment, you're going to have very variable results. So this is like the tin can. You know, it's hard to break the tension of the rigid steel at first, but once you break it, it goes through really easy. You know, there's no volume difference. All right, so anyway. So, none of this. This is physics, okay? I'm just saying, this is, you know, you have to be able to do this mechanical thing of drawing on a board. He thinks drawing on a board is useless. So he thinks this drawing isn't of any value to anybody. That nobody could gain any value by seeing it drawn and dynamically understand it. But anyway, you know, that's part of his video. So anyway, so you can see that if you did your first experiment, that is the one that was supposed to be the lesser amount of energy, and you ensured that you penetrated, you did all of this, was already done. So you're no longer increasing the size of the lake, okay? So you're making a lake, and we're trying to decide how much we're increasing the volume, the depth of the lake, the amount the lake holds. Obviously, as we're making the lake bigger, okay, we're getting that 4-to-1 relationship. But as soon as we stop making it any bigger, that is, as soon as we start making holes that are the same size as now the depth you go will be equal to, okay? So now the diameter of the distance will equal, okay, the volume. The increase in the volume will be equal to the increase in the dimension of the depth, because you're no longer increasing this way and this way, you're only increasing this way, you know, the depth. So now it's a one-dimensional equation. So now you have a good comparison. Now if you want to drop it with twice the velocity, you'll make a dent like this, okay? And the fact will be is this volume increase in here will be exactly proportional to the distance increase. So if you got 4 times the depth, increase in depth, it's 4 times the volume, increase in volume. So now the two things are equal. So you can see that's a huge logical flaw in his reasoning, that he didn't even reason this out to realize, and I would say that the original guy didn't do it either, but you can see from his own drawings that he compares dimples in the clay, dents in the clay, that are not of equal size, meaning that he didn't allow the weaker object to penetrate the clay deep enough to get to the halfway point, where now you're not increasing the size of the dimple. Because increasing the size of the dimple, again, has this 4-to-1 relationship. Only 1 unit of depth increase creates 4 units of volume increase. All right, so that's physics, though. Physics has this, this is a real thing. It's not a fake thing. This is what physics requires you to do, is to account for all these variables. These are called variables in experiments, and you have to account for these variables when you do your experiments. And Brozo refuses to do any of this pre-logic. Okay, so the reason why he's got the reason why he has results he likes this time is because he is using round objects. So it's like me saying, I'm going to do an experiment with arrows. You know, I'm going to shoot arrows, and I'm going to point one of the arrows, and I'm not going to point the other arrow. And then I'm going to make a comparison. It's just cheating. It's like doing a pendulum experiment, you know, where you take the fulcrum of the lever, and you say, these are 2 equal levers. And then you pull the fulcrum of this lever over, okay, you stretch it. So it's not, you know, it's not parallel, it's over here, and it swings back, and so the whole lever is oscillating. It's as dumb as that. All right, so I think that's enough on what you have to account for and what you have to understand before you even start to do the experiment, and what you have to recognize are factors that'll make your results inaccurate. So 1 unit of depth gets you 4 units of volume as you are increasing the size of the crater. But as soon as you make the craters an equal size, that goes away. And now depth will be volume. All right. So that's a good enough context, I think. Let's see if there's anything else I have to report on. All right, so in this video, he's going to do a lot of ragging on the PBS documentary, lots of things, lots of people who do history, Kathy Loves Science, all kinds of people. He's really insulting, but he's afraid to insult them directly in any way, you know, for their bad physics and bad version of history. And then in this very video, he's going to say things about Leibniz where he knows nothing. Because Leibniz didn't do any clay experiments. He was dead 20 years before those experiments were done. He was already dead for 20 years. Okay. You know, Leibniz didn't provide any evidence for his theory. He just stated it, and he said, anyone who disagrees with me is wrong because they believe in free energy. That's all he did, okay? There were no experimentals. There were no description of mechanics to justify what he was saying. So It's just a fact. He doesn't have any experimental evidence to support his theory. He just states it's because it's 4 times the height and gravity. 4 equals 4. So it's 4 times the energy because it's 4 times as high, even though it's only twice the velocity, and it's only twice the weight, and it's only twice the time. So in spite of the fact that I've repeated that now over and over again in the recent videos, there's been no counter argument to why those are insignificant facts. So Disbar won't explain why they're insignificant facts, and Brozo won't explain why it doesn't matter that it's only twice the time, and it doesn't matter that it's only twice the weight, and it doesn't matter that it's only twice the velocity. It's 4 times the height. So it's got to be 4 times the energy. Frankly, the weight thing is just so critical. I mean, once you understand that it's only twice the weight, it doesn't that really explain everything? How can twice the weight create 4 times the penetration? It's so illogical. All right, anyway. So he does all this ragging, and he doesn't know any of the history. He hasn't done any of the research. I mean, to even suggest that Leibniz did clay experiments or knew about the clay experiments, it's just such a... It's so stupid. Because clearly he wasn't contemporary to the people who were defending his theory. He was already long dead. Okay. Anyway. So I guess we'll play some clips out of this. I'll be reminded of other stupid things he said and blah, 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 and we'll just see where it goes. But obviously, okay, he's not counter-arguing his own previous experiments. So he's pretending he didn't even do them. I guess I should mention the spring experiment, because that's another dramatic example, frankly. So we'll do that. All right, so we did another experiment where, you know, this is, like he calls it, it's a simple experiment. This isn't supposed to be very complicated, right? All right, so we're supposed to launch 2 objects with springs. All right, then just send them on their way, okay? And then they just collect the energy with a spring. I mean, this seems so simple, like how could this get screwed up? Okay, so we have a half mass here, okay, and then the full mass here, and we're gonna go half the velocity, and we're gonna go twice the velocity, the assumption is. So this one is compressed twice as much, so we have this much compression of the spring, and this one was, less than, twice as much, okay. So big thing going slow, small thing going fast. Oh, it's the same compression of the spring, I'm sorry. Okay, so we have the same spring compression, the same work object, the same object doing work on objects. And the idea is to put the same energy into them. All right, so his argument was he couldn't get that even to work. So he couldn't get the one mass to go half the velocity of the half mass. So even though it should happen, now, we know we can do it because we can use a pendulum and we can make it happen. So we know that if we use a pendulum, we can do 4 times the height and get twice the velocity. But he didn't do that. He didn't try it that way. So anyway, so what he did was he artificially pushed the lighter object faster. So he added enough energy to get it go twice as fast. So he established the velocity. So here he establishes at this point in the journey anyway, that this one is going 2x the velocity. So half the mass, 2x the velocity up here. 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour. So here we have them. He establishes that fact. Now he's plowing them into a spring. And what does he say he wants the result to be? 1.4. Why? I have no idea. So, but anyway, that's what he expects. So I argue they'll compress the spring exactly the same because they contain exactly the same amount of energy. This is the same momentum. It's going to be the same weight. Okay, so when they hit, they'll hit with the same weight. So just like the lever, okay, oscillating, this oscillation with a half mass is the same as this oscillation with a 2 mass. Okay, this small, half the oscillation, twice the velocity, half the velocity, twice the mass, okay, half the mass. That oscillates perfectly on a lever. The 10-ton train and the 5-ton train oscillate just fine. So the expectation is my rational argument would be, is if this one does, in fact, this faster one, have twice the energy, it has to compress the spring twice as much. So it should be twice the compression. And what were the results he got? Well, the results he got were, okay, so here's the slow object compressed a 12 amount. So obviously you're saying the fast object should compress 24. Okay, that would be the rational doubling of the compression of the spring. So we already know that that's exactly what springs do. They react to weight. So twice the weight equals twice the expansion or compression of the spring. So we know twice the weight does that. That's a fact we all have to agree with, because that experiment's been done a million times. I'm saying we also know that twice the velocity, okay, with the same size masses will get you twice the weight. So obviously if it's a half mass, it's only going to be doubling the weight of the half mass. All right. So, but the fact is that it is weight. Okay, so we know the spring is moved by weight. We know it proportionally compresses to weight. And we can know that these two things weigh the same. All right, but anyway. So my prediction is 12. He got an answer, okay, of 14, okay? And he's claiming his prediction was 16, okay? Which, and you're saying, well, why would you be predicting 16? That doesn't make any sense. Why would the faster object only have 0.4 more capacity to compress the spring? Well, that's because he doesn't believe the spring is compressed by weight. He doesn't believe anything rational. Because this clearly would be his expectation. In his clay experiment, he's expecting this. He's expecting to get a full amount of compression. So why why would he do this 0.4 weird thing? But anyway, obviously this result, I mean, I'm really not drawing this to scale, right? I mean, to scale, my prediction is here, his result is here, and his prediction is out here. That's his prediction. Okay, so clearly we can just say, oh, Brozosian error. It's close enough. Gary's right. So that's the real context here. He's done these experiments similar, and he hasn't gotten these results that he calls proof. He keeps saying he's proving, and obviously these are not proofs at all. They're not even close to being proofs. They're so bad. The results are so bad, they can't be called anything close to a proof. All right. So that's the context. All right, so we'll play some of the video. We'll just jump through it. So again, just look at the title, Simple Experiment. Obviously, it's not that simple. The shape of the object does matter. There are variables that have to be considered, blah, 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 blah. Velocity squared in kinetic energy. So again, proving, he says. So I've just showed the Mythbusters, they spent real money doing the experiment pretty scientifically, and their results are in complete contradiction to these results Brozo's claiming. Complete, 100% contradiction. They essentially proved within, tiny little millimeters momentum. They didn't get mv squared. They didn't get 1/2 mv squared. It didn't happen. Their experiments aren't showing it. And he has no, he doesn't have enough integrity or honesty to admit that using the word proving in the face of that counter evidence is just silly and obnoxious. Nobody with any integrity, nobody respectable could get away with that.
I guess.
Okay, so this is the end. So this is how poor the experiment was done. Sloppy shape, it's not even a flat surface. But you can see right here, the dimple sizes are variable, which means that, yes, you are increasing the volume at a 4 times the depth rate, okay? So for every millimeter of depth, you're increasing the volume by 4 because you're using a spherical object. And it won't be until they all have the same size crater that the depth will match the volume. Just a fact you ignored. All right.
Beginning. Hello. Here is my attempt to set the record straight about the history of kinetic energy as it...
Okay, so he won't be setting any record straight regarding any history, okay? And he won't certainly show any references. There won't be any links to any documentation. There won't be anything to validate anything he says.
Deliberately mischaracterizes, misconstrued.
Okay, so he's saying I mischaracterized and misconstrued something. There'd be no quotes of any lies or mischaracterization. So he has little quote mines throughout this entire video, and not a single one of those quote mines, not a single one of those stolen quotes out of context indicates any dishonesty or any lying. So he doesn't show anywhere where I lied about anything, or I distorted anything to be actual documentation, or misread a Wikipedia page, or did any of that. So all of this is lying on his part. It's just slander. I didn't lie, I didn't deceive, I didn't distort, I didn't manipulate. It's all a lie. None of that happened. I read real references, and some of those references could be inaccurate, but that's not my fault. The clay experiment.
Bullshit, Gary, you've not seen the experiment.
So because I said we've all seen the clay experiment, right? We've all seen it dramatized. We all understand it. Now, it couldn't be. It's a pretty simple thing, right? In idea form. Drop things into clay. So that idea isn't complicated. Now, I would argue that the Mythbusters is a better idea, frankly. Squishing the clay is a lot safer in terms of all the things that can go wrong, okay? Because you really are just pushing clay, and it's going to be just as hard to push it, no matter whether how deep you go. It's not going to get harder or easier to push. So, in that sense, theirs is a better experiment. but regardless, it's an easy to explain experiment. So when I'm saying we're all see, we can all imagine. So if I use the word we can all imagine the clay experiment, then it would have been a valid sentence. But because I said we've all seen, he has to take that literally. So this is the kind of, this is all they have. He has to resort to a quote mine over a semantics error that couldn't mean anything to anyone but him. Only to a petty person looking for spelling errors or something. I mean, this is so petty.
Who's getting in the way of a good story, duty? So they're not going to portray the experiment accurately.
All right, so he's saying that the documentaries are deliberately distorting. So, but he won't make any of these accusations to them. So he won't make a video of PBS, and he won't do these little weird clips of them. He won't make fun of the presenters. He won't do any of this stuff. He won't send, his minions out to, harass these people. He won't get into their personal life. He won't do any of that because he's such a hypocrite, right? Because this isn't about them. It's just about me and attacking me. It's about his problem, his little petty obsession. He's been bested by somebody and he doesn't like it, so he has to sit there and do whatever he can, whatever desperate effort, to reclaim some territory. And the only territory you're ever going to own, asshole, in the end, is that you're going to just look like a despicably petty, psychologically fucked asshole. That's all you're going to look like.
Department. The ball isn't supposed to go 4 times as deep. It's supposed to displace 4 times as much volume.
So says you that there's any logic to that. So I'm just arguing that. I just already pointed out how there's no logic to that. Okay, you're cheating the experiment. That's like the friction experiment, all these others. If you're not going to pay any attention to what the implications are of that, then the experiment's completely invalid. So obviously, if you're increasing the size of the lake you can pour water into. The whole argument is if you increase the diameter of the lake, there's a 4-to-1 relationship. So yeah, duh, it may look like, you know, if you just measure volume, you'll get this indication that somehow you did more work. Well, you really didn't do more work because of the shape of the object you're using. Again, an arrow that's pointed will penetrate something further than an arrow that isn't. Those are just facts. Sorry to bother you with facts, but those are just facts.
That's what the experts say.
Okay, so no expert says anything. There's no expert on this subject. So that's just more mush. Okay. The fact that the guy who actually originally did these experiments, his own drawings show that he didn't pay any attention to this truth either, that he didn't even recognize that what he's doing is expanding the size of the craters. He didn't even pay attention to this very important variable. How pointy is your arrow?
What Hollywood says,
William Jacob Graf Sande conducted experiments which study the effects of gravity.
I don't know why he couldn't just do any of this in real size. Everything is, you know, just blown up. And he puts this out, if you like, skip 20 minutes arguing with Gary to actual experiment. Well, actually, the actual experiment isn't at 20 minutes. There's just a bunch of crap, frankly. And you see him actually doing things and you say, gee, that's so sloppy. So he hasn't cleaned up his act at all. All right. So this is what he's saying. So, yeah, so we'll just play this little clip because he says this is some important distinction between the difference between depth and volume. And as I just pointed out, okay, there is no difference between depth and volume once they penetrate the circumference of the size of the object. So once you are making dimples the same size as the object, there's no difference between depth and volume.
He dropped a brass sphere from varying heights into a bed of soft clay.
So these are probably his own drawings, who knows. And obviously you can see right in this drawing the smaller dimple, meaning he didn't let the thing dropping with the less velocity, he didn't let it go all the way to the circumference of the object. Or else the object was started off as a smaller size, which would say, oh, that wouldn't work anyway. But these really are circular dimples. They were round objects.
He measured the volume of the impact craters.
So he thinks because that video, right, voiceover video, pretty bad, proves it. So there's no reference to whether he did do volume or whether he did do depth. So he doesn't have any reference demonstrating that proof. And he certainly hasn't proven that Deschardelet, if she did duplicate the experiments, that she wasn't paying attention to the depth. Or that she wrote in her papers that it was about volume and not depth. So he has no references to prove that any of what he's saying. He's just saying somebody said in a video. That must be the truth and the other stuff is a lie. That's all we have.
The volume.
So, and he repeats it over and over again. Didn't you hear the pretty poorly produced video? So the PBS guys are wrong. Their research sucks. The poorly produced video with the voiceover, crap shit, who knows what language it was originally, that's the truth.
Gary, not the depth.
So I'll point out to you, there is no volume to depth difference once you've penetrated the clay, the circumference of the object. So once you're penetrating with the whole point of the arrow in the surface, then depth and volume are the same thing.
Measured the volume of the impact craters. What he found was astounding. The empirical data showed a non-linear...
So again, this is astounding empirical data. So I just showed the Mythbusters doing a better experiment, frankly. And their empirical data, okay, their astounding data is No sign of MV squared. No, can't find it anywhere. Not even close. Not even close.
Relationship. The force of impact was increasing exponentially.
So again, this increasing exponentially until you get to the actual size of the object, then there's no increase. So you get no, there's no more 4-to-1 relationship between volume and penetration depth as soon as you are past the point of the arrow. So as soon as you're now penetrating just arrow against arrow, and they have the same exact resistance to change, then depth equals volume.
Have Sandy communicated his results to Emily Du Chatelet?
4 times the depth is a Hollywood myth.
Okay, so whether it's 4 times the depth, whether that is a myth or not, it doesn't change the fact that the Mythbusters experiments are exactly opposed to what you're saying, and you haven't provided any reasoning to explain why they are wrong, why they did something wrong. What was wrong with their experiment, Stephen? Could you explain why their experiment is inferior to your silly experiment where you are comparing, you know, pointed arrow against not pointed arrow? Let's understand that, you know, the curve of the object is essentially pointing out to you more resistance, the flat part, less resistance, this. So the further you penetrate, the less resistance.
Internet myth, a draft science myth. It doesn't.
Okay, so again, it's not my myth. I didn't write the myth. I didn't do any of that. All I did was a reasonable amount of research and read a Wikipedia page as accurately as I could, and, you know, did other research to find out what the experiment was. So I didn't distort anything. I didn't pervert anything. I didn't do anything dishonest to misdescribe the clay experiments. And again, all I did state was, where did anybody establish that penetration in clay is a very good ruler? It's a great way to measure energy. Why did Joule use a tank of water if clay was supposed to be the way to go?
Really happen. It doesn't make any sense anyway. The tiny bit you think you've learned off what might as well be a cartoon.
Okay, so this is his argument. He's done no research. I've clearly done a lot more research than he does. He doesn't even know when Leibniz lived and died. He doesn't know when Leibniz proposed this idea. He doesn't know what arguments Leibniz used to defend the idea. He has no idea about any of this stuff. And yet here he is critiquing other people's research. Just amazing. He's done nothing for himself. He's done no research. All right. Continuing.
Know how clay deforms. It can take an impression. It doesn't deform all over the place. It's not like...
So I've never argued that clay deforms all over the place, but the argument I was making in this clip was I was making the simple argument that energy moves from one object to another object. That's all that happens. It's a Descartesian universe. All right. And so everything that's, when you're trying to measure energy, you have to take the energy. You have to put it in a battery. You have to put it somewhere so you can measure it. That's why springs are great. That's why batteries are great. That's why some things are really good at helping you do this, because they don't steal the energy. They just absorb it all, and you can just look at it in the bottle. And that's the best way to see it. Now, the other way to see it is where when the energy passes through something, it leaves a signature, a footprint. And the footprint is a tiny amount of the energy. So when people walk on sand on a beach, they're leaving behind a small portion of their energy. But that small portion is proportional to what they did. So the depth of their footprint and all this stuff could be evidence to how fast they were walking. That's all can be used. And that's what you're saying. You're hoping clay is giving you an accurate representation, a footprint of what the energy did, all right? Because you didn't capture the energy. That's why, again, I'll just argue it's better to use storage devices, because you're capturing the energy, you're holding it, you're keeping it.
Like jelly, it's been splattered against the wall.
Well, whatever. See, all this nonsense. So again, mischaracterizes every statement made because he just quote mines. Takes everything out of context.
have any evidence. You've just given us something that you want us to agree with without giving us anything to back.
All right, so this is, again, just more nonsense, right? Every one of the videos is a detailed argument, all right? And he thinks these detailed arguments don't mean anything. And the context doesn't mean anything. I provide the context for the Mythbusters argument. I explained how tin cans work. I gave you some indication of what could be flaws in any kind of, you know, crushing cars versus crushing clay. And conceded that, you know, yeah, maybe crushing cars isn't the best way to test, but it's clear what the results are.
Base it upon.
Anyway.
Again. Enjoy. All I'm doing is dropping lead balls into clay.
Dropping lead balls.
All right, so apparently these are where he drops a 4-mass object 1/4 of the distance and a 1-mass object 4 times the distance and gets them to come out the same. Now, he has the 4 taped together, or like a giant torpedo. And from what you can see, he doesn't even secure this clay when he drops things into it. The clay moves. But whatever. We don't really get to see the experiment yet. I mean, this is just an image of the experiment.
I hate how the people talk in this.
So this is his, I guess, the 4-mass object. So he's showing right here that the clay line doesn't ever get past the circumference of the object. Now, this is so, again, he's made such a mess out of this video through his editing that who knows what the actual shape of this object is. I mean, is it actually a circular or a sphere, or is it a dull, flattened object? What the hell is it? So we can't even see that. There's just nothing here called a useful detail.
So-called wrongly describing their work. Because he's jealous of
all. All right, so there's no. So he's saying I wrongly described the Chatelet because I'm jealous. I've made every effort to go find her actual words, and the only thing that's translated is her kid book, okay? And it's garbage. But regardless, I'm just saying that she clearly didn't invent any of these ideas. She wasn't some innovative new scientist. She translated Newton's Principia. She didn't rewrite it better. I mean, it's just nonsense. So I don't know why you think she's a great scientist. You're admitting that the clay experiments aren't even hers. So anyway, what is this? So I can't read. He has text over his own text. Is that clever or what? So, lead balls into clay experiments by de Chatelet, redone by yours truly as evidence against immoral lies of Gary. So, I'm lying. The obviously, the Mythbuster guys are liars. I mean, those are fake clay experiments they did. I mean, it's so pathetic. All right, so wrongly describing their work. So, he won't pull a single quote from me about any of this where I have in any way lied about the clay experiments, that I said anything about them that was a lie. It's just such nonsense. So he's just slanderer. Pathetic that he has to resort to this. Oh, look at this great edit.
From the highest at velocity 2. So it displaced 14 milliliters of clay.
So this was just so bad. I don't even know what to say. It's so bad. So he does this animation of his results that's incomprehensible. You can't make any sense out of this at all.
And it displaced 4 milliliters in the hard clay at 20 degrees, roughly.
All right. So we're saying that these dimple sizes don't represent the actual size of the actual circumference of the actual dents in the clay, but you can clearly smell it, what happened, okay, that he never penetrated the clay more than the diameter of the object. So yes, one time the penetration equals 4-time increase in the volume displaced. Because the 1 is pushing on a sphere. It's pushing on a sphere. The inverse square law. It's pushing on the sphere in two dimensions. So it's making a much bigger volume.
It displaced 5.4 when it was 5 or 6 degrees warmer. And likewise, the soft clay displaced another gram's worth.
Like I said, you just can't, milliliters. Whatever this is, it's so useless as a method of understanding the comparison. 4, 5, 15, 14. Well, what am I supposed to say? Oh, that's 3 to 1. That's not 4 to 1. So I don't even know. What are you talking about? 3 to 1 isn't 4 to 1. I don't know whether you know that, but 1/3 isn't 1/4. I don't know.
Just in the soft clay. Like I said, I didn't repeat the experiment in the medium clay, but the 574-gram ball dropped from the 1,400-millimeter line, twice the velocity, that displaced 13 milliliters. Then, to check the validity of clay being a good measure of energy, I used Gary's only definition of 4 times the energy by using 4 times the mass. 4 times.
So, I don't know where he gets this notion that I ever said energy is only measured by mass. I'm clearly saying velocity and mass are equal. So this is 2, 3 kilogram. I don't know. So he says it's 4 times the mass. Is he going to show the experiment? No. So who knows what he's talking about?
574 grams. It actually came out 2.306 grams. So that penetrated the clay pretty much the same on average as the quarter mass.
Okay, so that's all he says. It's pretty much the same. Yeah, that's real scientific. Thank you. Just like this 4 is, you know, 1/4 of 15 or 1/4 of 14. I don't think it is.
Dropped from 4 times the height, twice the velocity. They were pretty much equivalent.
Okay, so this is just, so what good is this? They were pretty much equivalent, says Brozo. Yeah, all right, I trust you. Oh, no, I don't.
Why not? It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Because friction is variable. The faster you go, the less friction you'll encounter.
Okay, so he thinks he is in some way arguing against that simple truth, right? So I pointed out how with friction, an object doesn't go to half its velocity until it goes 3/4 of the distance it's going to travel. So if you're going to use friction to consume something's energy, so you're going to try to pull all of its energy out of it. In friction, it'll travel 3 times the distance before it's going half the velocity. So obviously, when it reaches half the velocity it started with, it's clearly traveling 2 very different amounts of distance, which means it's clearly absorbing a different amount of energy. Clearly, in the first portion of its journey, it's losing less energy per square inch. That's just an absolute fact. I pointed out how, well, the twice as fast object will lose its energy at exactly twice the rate. That is, it will only travel twice as long. So yes, it goes 4 times as fast, far, but it only travels twice as long. So these facts have been pointed out. They won't be counter-argued. They won't be explained away. They won't be anything. So again, this is just how they distort the argument. They pervert the argument.
And all the technical words to make it sound to idiots like he knows what he's talking about. He hasn't got a clue what...
All right, so whatever. So it says Brozo, right? So the guy who doesn't really understand any of these dynamics. He does a pendulum experiment and he doesn't even realize that you can't swing the pendulum, you know, the lever. If you're doing a lever experiment, you can't swing the fulcrum. Yeah, that's really dumb. You can't figure that out.
He's talking about...
Like breaking a piece of wood, you know, the karate guys... By increasing the velocity, they decrease the amount of energy they have to use to break the wood.
Right. So it's just so, another example that's just so obvious that it's because the board is made out of fibers. And there's a point where it's like an earthquake, you'll just shear the fibers. And once the fibers are sheared, there's no more bending, there's no more tension, there's no more torque. And the board just falls apart. I mean, everybody who knows anything about physics knows that's true.
His drawings are meaningless.
Just... So look at this slop. Look how sloppy this all is. The edges are bent. There's distortion everywhere. The thing is a mess. And he's calling this a proof. He's proven this is so much better than Mythbusters. I mean, Mythbusters just have wet dreams about being able to do experiments as well as I do them. I do them so cool and greatly.
As his words are.
Again, now, is this...
So he's really proud of this. Look, he's showing it as if he's actually proud of it. So you can see this ball isn't even close to half the diameter. So clearly this hasn't spread the clay its maximum amount yet at all. So clearly these, you know, again, you're stuck with this scenario for every amount of... Well, for every unit of distance and depth, you're creating 4 times the volume.
It isn't physics, Gary. What do you mean, is it complex physics? It's not physics.
Okay, so he just keeps showing it, right? And I'm just saying, right? It's ugly, dirty, smelly, disgusting, all kinds of... What's this big dent in the frickin' thing? What is all this stuff? And he thinks this is really good evidence. Amazing. What an amazing fucktard.
Evidence. You haven't got any. It's just you making shit up.
Well, obviously I didn't make any shit up, okay? The pendulum I showed oscillating wasn't made up. When I dropped objects on a scale and found that, yeah, 4 times the height, only twice the weight increase, that wasn't made up, okay? When I rolled the little ball bearings and found that, yes, it's almost twice, you know, twice the mass, you know, half the velocity,
Again, you'd see it even on a road, like say if I had a road with just a couple little tiny bumps in it.
In other words, a road. Show me a road that doesn't have bumps in it.
Oh, so he doesn't even get the argument that there's reasons why you velocity destroys your contact with a surface. And you can go all the way to molecular reasons, you know, where you're actually, you know, molecularly bonding to a surface. No, you can use the air pressure argument. You know, as you eliminate all the air, the atmosphere can't get between two surfaces. They end up becoming very, very stuck to each other. In space, this actually happens. You don't have to, you could actually weld two pieces of metal to each other in space by just making sure they're very clean. Because when they make contact, they essentially molecularly bond. So you can just connect a piece of steel to a connect piece of steel, and as long as you've got very clean, unoxidized surfaces, they'll bond like the rest of the steel. So there's all kinds of physics arguments that he just doesn't want to hear. And that's the truth here. He just doesn't want to hear real physics. He just wants to play in his little clay playground, you know, in his little sandbox. And, you know... And for only one purpose. Again, his only purpose is to somehow prove me wrong. But the fact will be that he'll never do that because I'm not wrong. And his legacy is going to be his ugly rhetoric, his ugly experiments, his, you know, desperate stupidity. Okay. Where he keeps making assertions he can't possibly defend. Clearly, these experiments don't debunk Mythbusters. They don't prove that experiment garbage. They don't in any way indicate a counter-argument of any validity. They just demonstrate how desperate this pitiful shithead is. So again, he's overtly showing that he didn't do the experiment in a way where you could expect to get clean results. If you're going to use spherical objects, you have to have an equal size craters. And when you're not creating equal sized diameter craters, you're not doing a fair experiment.
4 times higher or 4 times the mass. And they're both 4 times the energy. Well, say four.
They're both 4 times the energy. So did that make any sense? No. So he dropped a one mass from four times the height and a four mass from one times the height, and he's saying he got the same size hole. Now, momentum says that's not possible. Okay, granted. But whatever.
Times higher or four times the mass, and they both make four times the energy.
Okay, so four times the energy of what? What are you talking about? They both made four times the energy compared to what? What are you talking about? So we won't see any of this. Whatever this is, we won't see that experiment. All right. Nothing. Nothing.
It's easy. You just open up the head and blah, 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 blah. That's your science, isn't it? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, well, we've seen yours. We've seen it. Yeah, disgusting. You shouldn't do that in public. All right, where were we?
Idiot.
And you'll know that because you'll have an impact and blah, 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 blah.
No, so this antic, right? I mean, this deserves even a response. Why should anybody even respond to somebody who resorts to this kind of crap? I mean, I'll play, you know, I mean, I could do this to his little music video. You could do this to anybody's video. You know, it's such a cheap shot. I mean, what the fuck? And this is the argument he has to resort to, right? So his argument is so good that he has to resort to this kind of petty ridicule, you know, where you have somebody repeat the same word 17 times or you do some other video editing trick, some Photoshop trick. Is essentially the same as Photoshop, right? I mean, fucking with the audio is the same as fucking with the video. And so that's what all the real, the people with integrity and have good arguments, that's what they resort to as arguments. Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, I think what they resort to is making the argument on a board. Yeah, yeah, that's what the people with integrity do. But that's just so pathetic. Yeah, so pathetic.
And it would have been a different quantity. Same difference.
So you can see he overfills the little round things. I mean, obviously this should be a round dimple. It's crooked. It's got spill on it. It's a mess. So he's desperate to force these results. Desperate. And again, he has no counter argument for anything said in the, you know, and who knows how even old this video he's pointing to is, right? We don't have any context for this video. So like he's taking clips from a video where he doesn't even give us the title of the video.
And by your modern formula, no, the answer is 50 joules.
Or 50 Leibnizes, like I've just said.
Yeah, it does make a difference. I mean, you know, everybody has to put everything in units somewhere. And you can have a foot pound or you can have a joule. Or you can have all these different ways of measuring, but the units have to be consistent. That's all you're requiring, is that the units be consistent. So again, we know what the results are. So again, Mythbusters did the experiment. Okay, they got 50 mile an hour, 100 mile an hour. That's what they got. Okay, they were supposed to get this. This. 1/4. They didn't get it. Didn't happen. Now it's your job to explain why didn't it happen. What was so wrong about how they did the experiment? How did they fail? You need to explain how they failed to do it right. Shit for brain. Look at this slop. Everything is sloppy. Everything.
You don't have to define energy as joules. You don't have to define power as watt.
And why did I, where did in any of my videos did I say I want them to be joules or I want them to be this or I want them to be that? I'm arguing for momentums from the very beginning. It's just fine. Velocity in meters per second, fine. Let's do that. Mass in kilograms, okay. Let's do that. All right, and now what do? We are just multiplying the velocity times the mass, and we're getting an answer in a quantity and saying, yes, that's the volume, so to speak. The volume of the energy. and the volume is made out of the mass and the motion. How much mass moving how fast. And that's your volume of energy.
You don't have to measure bananas.
What's the point, right? No one could get the impression that I argue for the invention of the joule. The argument is that you're saying the gun barrel has 2 joules and the bullet has 2,000. That's your argument. And I say it's bullshit.
Off the top of my head, that's about it, I think. Instead of halving it, we would have to multiply it by 1.1 because there are 2.2 pounds in a kilogram, aren't there? I think. Yeah.
To being the truth. And yet they were all certain they proved it.
So he's taking one video where I might have made a mistake in terms of making a conversion between pounds and joules or something and playing a game when I've made literally 1,000 videos and we already know what I'm arguing for. MV versus your theory, 1/2 mv². That's what's being argued, and you're not on the subject, frankly. You're clearly paying no attention to the evidence compiled on the subject, the evidence that professional bowlers aren't using 8-pound bowling balls. You're paying no attention to the facts.
I would like to drop this little one.
All right, so this is, you know, this is how he shows us. Look at the tape measure, not even straight. Oh, it's just so stupid.
Those up. All right, so
perhaps I should write down which one was which, so I don't forget.
Something. So the clay is not even an even surface, so he couldn't even be bothered to flatten the clay.
This one is the first one, so I'll say number one, and that was from 1.4 meters, and this was number
1.4, so he couldn't even use round numbers for the heights. So it's 1.4 and 2.8 or something, let's see, no, it'd have to be 4, I have to think about it.
The two from 350 millimeters. And that was all
11 milliliters, I don't know, so we don't even... Four mass fell at a bad angle, so dent reduced. So he dropped this stupid thing he taped together. And he's conceding for some reason it's out of balance. It doesn't drop straight. I mean, it should drop straight. I mean, torpedoes tend to fly straight through water, so why can't you make a torpedo that can fly through the air straight? Maybe there's something wrong with what you're doing again. Maybe there's something wrong with how you're dropping it, dumbass. Oh, God, he's so bad.
But it's been dropped from the same height as that, and yet it's made the same hole, the same dent as that from 4 times the height.
Right. And did we actually see that experiment? I don't think we did. Just shows us these 2 holes, and that's what he says happened. Yeah, okay, sure it did.
Cover that up, and I tried dropping this again.
So I don't know what the styrofoam is for, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna have another go.
I just want a clean one where it stays in the bloody hole it dropped in, you know what I mean? It's just very difficult to drop it exactly where you want it. I'm a bit high now, I have to drop it from a bit lower. I've got to knock off 18 millimeters, so instead of dropping it there, I've got to drop.
So what the fuck is he doing? So he's saying it's a simple experiment, and look at this horse shit. I don't know, he's using a piece of his chainsawed piano, you know. Why? What is the role of this thing? What is any of this? It's just so bad.
Drop it from just under the arrow. Well, 18 millimeters below the arrow. Here we go.
What was that? Let's see what he did there. what was that? I didn't watch this part.
A bit high now. I'll have to drop it from a bit lower. I've got to knock off 18 millimeters. So instead of dropping it there, I got to drop it from just under the arrow.
Well, 18 millimeters below that arrow. Here we go with that.
So again, obviously, when it's landing, okay, there's resistance to the penetration, and the mass is moving this way or that way. So clearly, all the energy of the object isn't getting into the clay. Obviously, any movement or rotation requires energy. It's a use of the energy. So clearly, this doesn't work, dummy, idiot, retard. It's not working. Yeah, it's failing to work. And rather dramatically, again, it's a rather dramatic failure of the energy to get into the clay. It's dramatic. Any motion in any other direction means you're not penetrating the clay. So any motion you see going some other way is obviously not being, that energy can't possibly be going into the clay. So you're obviously not measuring the thing's energy if the energy's not going into the clay. Duh. But he's too stupid to even understand that. Alright, so what's this? Upside down compared to earlier 3-dent image. 11 mil dent, 2.3 kilograms, 4x mass from 314 inches. So again, 14 inches. You'd think that he would realize, I mean, even when they demonstrated the 1700 experiment, the height from which they dropped the balls was quite substantial. You know, the higher you drop it, the more likely you're going to fix any of these little irregularities about surface tension and the shape of the object. All of that stuff becomes less relevant the more energy you give the objects. The less energy they have, the more all of those things matter. So he's also too stupid to know that physics. So this is just, what is this? This is somehow, you can't just show us this one is supposed to be and this one is supposed to be. You can't just say that. So this he thinks is informative.
Right, I might have a go at recording on two cameras at once here. I did record on two cameras at once, but for some reason I can't find the footage of the other camera. Go one, go two, and go three.
Gee, that's really important that we have two views of the lumpy, round clay that you dropped objects into, where the objects are obviously merging into each other. You can't even have done the experiment clean enough where you start with a clean piece of clay, a clean plug. I mean, it's like if the Mythbusters guys used the same piece of plug of clay over again. No, at least they made new plugs for each experiment. Oh, amazing bullshit. So here's his again, the big cheat is, you can see it right here, okay? He hasn't penetrated the clay deep enough for him to eliminate the fact that there isn't a clear relationship between the penetration depth. He's now still expanding this way and this way instead of this way. So depth won't equal volume. Depth only equals volume when you stop expanding the crater. No surprise, he puts too much in.
I'll leave that little tiny bit left in, but it's not quite level, it's just...
Alright, and so he has a syringe that is, you know, barely, what, milliliters, okay, who knows how, you know, oh, an extra milliliter here, an extra milliliter there, who cares? Yeah, too pitiful. And he's using numbers like 13 and 12 and 11. And he's playing around with basically just squirting out extra one here, extra two there.
He's coming.
And yeah, too pitiful. No more of this.
Oh, there. And that was, it's on the 8.5 mark, so it left. So we put another 1.5.
So it's, you know, hardly well measured, and there's an air bubble in there. So he hasn't even, you know, been careful enough to get the air out of the fluid. Oh, God.
Milliliters in there. So I'll write that. That's 11 and a half milliliters. 11.5. And this one so far is... Load this back up to 10. Back up to 10 again. So I want to see...
So whatever. I guess this is, again, this is the one where he's saying the one object was the four mass object that we saw tilt. So this is where he's saying the four mass dropped from one unit of distance equals the one mass drop from 4 units of distance. When there should be a... momentum-wise, the smaller object dropping the longer distance has less momentum. Right? Yeah.
Point this.
So look, he's already overflowing, and he's still dribbling it in. I mean, what the fuck? So look at the mess of that. So this is his empirical experiment. Sure can't argue with this.
I've gone all quiet. I'm concentrating. It's overflowing now. On number 7.
And I shook some off.
10. 1,
so it's overflowing,
2, 3.
And he shook some off the ends. Yeah. Let's see how many it says.
Yeah, so it's done 3. Yeah, so it's done 3 milliliters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we saw that. Yeah. Didn't you see it? I saw that. Yeah, it's clearly 3. So it's 3 and 11.5. Now, it's supposed to be 4 to 1, right? I mean, so... That's not 4 to 1. It didn't matter.
So the 11 is taking into account the slight overflow. Right, so 10 milliliters.
So the 11 has taken account for the slight overflow. So it's less than 11. That would mean it's 10.5. So he doesn't even get that part right, right? If 11 is overflowing, then it has to be 10.5. So you have 10.5 and 3. 3 isn't 1/4 of 10.5.
Liters again. 10 milliliters again. The first one, which was...
All right, well, whatever. I mean, you know, you could just drop dead doing this, right? This is just so stupid. So again, and it's all dependent on him not understanding that you're spreading the clay in extra dimensions by using spherical objects. And so the volume isn't a good measure. It's not going to tell you the truth.
See how many more this can take.
All right, it's all the same shit over and over. Okay. That was
off.
A good one there. Hmm.
This camera's complaining. Or maybe it's just run out of battery time.
Oh, thank God.
I think this one's run out of battery time, so I'll finish now.
Maybe there is a
okay,
God.
Okay, thank you for watching.
Thank you for draining his battery. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, debunking Gary, etc. So this is some new video he's got? I don't think so. This is one of his old pieces of shit. So I'm sure he's not debunking me. Let's just see what it is. Just curious.
You were asking about, for a bit of clarification, about what polarization means. Well, polarization can be applied to one or two different things. Can it be applied to light? It can be applied to batteries.
I'm surprised he's doing that argument, right? Because obviously those videos are clear about what we're talking about. Each video is clear about what we're talking about. Light polarization is the same word, and it's really just talking about an orientation. But polarization when it comes to charge, or polarization and magnetism, these are all different uses of the same word just to describe two scenarios, plus, minus, north, south. I mean, duh. Vertical versus horizontal. It's just to demonstrate two things that are almost perpendicular to each other, things that have clear, distinct opposites. So it's just a generic word. But anyway, I don't remember this video, but it's just too stupid, so why bother? All right, so, I don't even remember this video. For American slave or anyone curious about what polarization means in various contexts, I'm sure, oh, he's going to do the speaker bullshit again. Oh, he's so proud of his speaker arguments. It's just too pathetic. Oh. Anyway, so here's the, see if there's any. So let's understand, he did these silly lever videos 2 weeks ago. Okay, it says right there, 2 weeks ago. Okay, 1 minute videos where he's going to reveal what's on the other side. And he hasn't revealed anything. And now he's changing the subject. Interesting. And clearly changing it in the context of, let's understand, he obviously made this clay video a long time ago. So it's not current. Because he doesn't even mention the clay by the Mythbusters. I mean, clearly, you know. So why is he posting this video now when he still has these lever videos to explain? You know, the obvious one where he made the huge mistake in this one. But this is the state of argument. This is the best they've got. He's proven, says right there, proven something with this experiment. And it directly contradicts what the Mythbusters found. Direct contradiction. But he's proven it. Okay, so, all right. That's enough. It's too stupid. Oh, I probably should have read some comments, right? Because the comments will totally ignore all context. Well, I'm not going to go back. I'll do comments another day. All right. So enough of a video. Let's get the hell out of here. Hey, where'd it go? That's interesting. Is it back? No, that is really it disconnected from the browser. I don't know why it did that, but that's interesting. All right, anyway, some new phenomenon. Anyway, till the next time and such. This has been, not that, it's this, yes, adraftphysics.com video presentation. Debate physics also, but obviously this is not a rational debate. They don't ever counter-argue any of the arguments I'm aggressively making. They instead go back to 3 years ago and quote mine some video I made. But that's all you get. Nothing close to a valid interaction, nothing close to an interchange of argumentation, nothing that progressively has any chance of evolving. They just keep saying, fetuses have a soul, fetuses have a soul, fetuses, and they just keep telling you their religion. You know, they don't bother making a rational argument. All right, so till the next time and.